Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Al's brother will be in studio just a little bit. And you guys are on the clock making the pick tonight. Dallas at home, 3.5-point favorites against the Eagles. So we'll see what you two can get up to. You're both in studio. You're face-to-face, which could go one of two ways. Meeting of the minds, or potentially some friction between the two of you.
Let me just ask you this. Will you be willing to relay this information? Let's just say this was your selection. Where do you think your head would be at?
Well, I have one team in mind that I would take tonight. I am not going to relinquish that information. It is not my pick.
Will you after we make our
Absolutely.
Pick?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to write it down.
Oh, dude, don't start with write this it garbage.
Down.
No, because
like
you
that.
Could write it. You could just pick up another piece of paper.
I'm not going to. I'm going to say 6:01 p.m. Eastern time. Okay? The pick is in for me, but it's not my pick tonight. You guys will pick, and I'll tell you who I was going to take if I had the game tonight. What a week is going to be. The Jays are off tonight. Yankees are off. Sox are off. The Yankees in town for three tomorrow night. Hyunjin Ryu coming off the IL. He'll be on the mound. 30,000 in attendance. Like, there's so many different ways to approach the buildup of the game. The game itself is what matters, you know, obviously. You got to take two or three against the Yankees. You have to survive. You drop two or three, you get swept, you're done.
Right.
Right? Like, you're probably done. The Yankees are clearly gone. And the Sox, you're banking on a miracle. They're at Baltimore and then at Washington. You got to be penciling in Boston for probably four wins. Maybe five. So you got to get two or three against the Yankees. This is it. It comes down to this series. And you couldn't ask for it to be against a better team, right? Like, it's New York, back in Toronto, 30,000. The Yankees are hot like they were a month ago when they went on that heater. They're back. They're looking good. But the Jays got a split in Minnesota. Not ideal, but you dropped the first two and you came back in style Saturday and Sunday to put yourself back in a position to pounce tomorrow
right.
night. So the game itself is the primary focus, but the fact that there's going to be 30,000 people in the stadium
yeah.
moving forward for the final six
what is
games.
That's capacity of what, 45?
No, that's more than half.
Yeah.
Capacity is about 48,000, 50 grand in there. So, again, it's an arbitrary number. No one has an answer as to how you get to that point. 15
yeah.
to 30. You know, where is the science where it goes, all right, double now. I don't know.
And I've said it before, Hayes. It was 15, but all sitting in the same spot.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah,
like,
right
how much sense does...
Plate.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they were all around home plate, first base, whatever.
Wow.
How that works is beyond me. Now it's going to be the same thing. It's just expanded. Now it's 30,000.
I'll tell you, I felt normal. We all talked about what we were going to do on our weekend. Friday night, I went down to a concert at Budweiser Stage.
Good for you.
Look at
Noodles
awesome.
Getting out there.
Well, I mean,
I love seeing it.
Yeah, but you Noodles, know, you were backstage sitting on the stage for the concert. You weren't
no,
in regular seats.
I promise you I was. And it was, but the seats were spaced out. Like it was, I think it was maybe half capacity, but it didn't feel like that. You know what I mean?
There'd be energy in there for sure.
The energy was high. It was outdoors. I overdressed, like I layered too much. Like I thought it was going to be cold.
What
and
are
I
you,
was
80?
I don't know. I wore like a T-shirt, a sweatshirt, and then a jacket. I was like, there were people with T-shirts on and cowboy hats. It was, you know, the Recklaws and Dean Brody and
oh, yeah.
Nate Hall, and it was awesome. But I was boiling. Like, I was rattled for
and what
about
could,
the first
you can't
hour.
Do anything
I had
with layers
a lather
there.
Going. I had a lather going.
There's nothing you could do either. Like,
no.
you're at the concert. You're not.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could do. If you got the layers, man, you're stuck.
Yeah.
Like,
so it was great, though. But, you know, the – It, I kept thinking to myself, okay, you know, how's this process going to be? You got to show, you know, proof of vaccination to get in, all of that. It was actually pretty relatively painless, we'll call it. You know,
okay, that,
like
good.
It was, yeah, the lines were big, but they moved and, you know, beer tasted great. It was really like
live music.
It felt normal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like life felt normal. So I'm excited for Jays fans. You're right. Like there is no rhyme or reason though. Like if you're allowed half capacity and everyone sits together anyways, then you're defeating the purpose.
Well, what was your read on the Scotiabank on Saturday night with Leaf fans? Like it looked
well. It's different because I think some people hold signs that say wear your mask and some people don't, and how do you wear your mask if you're drinking a beer? I don't know.
Well, you don't have to, right? If you're eating or drinking, you don't have to.
Yeah, but
otherwise, you're supposed to, which, again, listen, these are all semantics. It's not for us to make the determination anyway. I think it's just cool to see people there, that you can go to a concert, that you can go to a game.
Exactly.
Jays, you know, you get six more, so do the math on that. That's 180,000 people are going to be in the dome. That's good stuff, you know, and they're the biggest games of the year, the biggest games since the 15-16 runs, really, and it's going to be an awesome atmosphere downtown, and the idea that, you know, there's life down there, there's cabs, there's Uber, there's bars, and the Leafs were playing Saturday night, 10,000
right.
people pouring out, Leafs Habs on a Saturday night, and, you know, the score in the preseason obviously is irrelevant. The Leafs won, you'd prefer to win than lose, but it's not going to make any difference come the 82-game regular season. But I thought a couple things stood out. Curtis Gabriel is a guy that's going to make some noise in this town because of the way he plays. But he had a big hit, fight, and he plays a different style. And
right.
he plays a style that this city has always gravitated to. It's a style that I don't know if he can find a place in the lineup. I'm not sure if Sheldon Keefe is looking for a place in the lineup for him. But is he a 13th forward? Is he a guy that comes in and out? Maybe, you know. Potentially. Bunting, I thought, looked pretty good. I thought Liljegren looked pretty good last night as a potential seventh defenseman. Like, those are the stories that matter here. William Nylander playing really well, that's what we expect. That's what he's supposed to do. That's what he will do. Tavares scoring is awesome. He's over the concussion. He's fine. You know, he's back. Muzzin scoring, awesome. Marner will be buzzing tonight. But
right.
it's what does Bunting look like? What does Mikheyev look like? David Kampf is making his debut. A lot of Leaf fans
right.
are like, who is this guy? Let's see what he brings to the table. You know, is the reality of where they're at.
I like that Bunting, though. I like him in the mix. I don't know where he lands as far as – but he just seems like he's got some jam. He goes to the net. He's got some physicality. And that's what they need in those positions. They've got the superstars. They've got the elite talent. They need guys like that around it. And I think Richie's going to be a fascinating guy to see. Because he has the pedigree, the first round pick that can score and play with top players. So I want to see what he's all about. But I like that Bunting kid. And Liljegren, you're right. It's like, can he make a push to be a 7th D, a right-handed shot that can get into the lineup?
But, well, they're giving him a path to, guys, because they didn't go and there's no, you know, they didn't trade for or sign Ben Hutton or somebody who's got NHL experience to play ahead of him. Like, there's a path there. And I think it's his job to play onto the team.
Yeah.
And if
he
doesn't,
said it self,
then they'll
Jamie.
Grab somebody.
He goes, this is year 5 for me. I got to make it happen. Yeah. Like, well, year 5 as a young guy, I don't know what the hell happens, but Ray said it best. You go from prospect to suspect after a while.
Yeah,
and I would think that 5 years might be that kind of time.
And, no, and he doesn't have to go back to the Marlies, right? In other words, if he's the 7th defenseman and is going to play in 25 games, so be it. Like, if that's your best option, then do it.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't he say, Brian, if I can't play here, I need to go try to play somewhere else? You would think the player, he would, regardless of what you think of his actual on-ice play, 5 years in one organization, generally the player says to his agent, maybe it's got to be somewhere else. I don't know.
Well, you got to be able to, like, show that you can play. That's the difference. Like, it's not, hey, you know, the path hasn't been blocked. There's not, you know, 4 Hall of Famers or 6 Hall of Famers in front of him. To be honest, that the bottom of those pairings have been wide open. Travis Dermott fights to be in the lineup every night. You know, Sandin's going to be there. I think the path is there for him this year. But if they think he's not ready, they'll grab somebody on waivers. You need defensive depth. You need goaltending depth. They've got 2 young kids now that are injured. The Scott kid, That's the biggest knock against him. He played at PA. He's a really talented goaltender.
I thought he
was
the next superstar goaltender in the system.
Can't
he
stay
was
healthy.
Like the best. Didn't he win like MVP of the Western Hockey League and goaltender?
Yeah, top goalie. Top goalie. He's a good young goaltender.
He was in there for half a period. He got hurt.
Well, he wasn't even. Yeah, was it a half a period?
I don't know. It wasn't long.
He made the nice save on Caulfield with the blocker. He looked solid, looked calm and poised, and then he was hurt. Joseph Wall's hurt. Like, they may end up having to grab a little bit of depth just in case. You know, I know you
still
have your
three. We got Hutchinson there, but...
I know, but, like, it gets thin very quickly if you get one injury, right? Mm-hmm. That's the challenge. And the same thing on D. You get one injury on D, all of a sudden Liljegren's your sixth. And you got to force feed him in there. Like, you know,
well, that speaks to, again, the system and what they have. And they know their system better than anyone on the outside. You know, who they have, what they have, their capabilities, and the potential for someone to actually step in. But it, based on what we see and what we hear and what we read, it does not appear as if they have this farm system that is boiling over. You know, so in other words, Riley goes out for an extended period of time. Okay, everyone moves up. Who's going in as the sixth defenseman? Mrazek gets hurt. You know, who's going
Hutchinson,
in?
Right.
Matthews is hurt. Who's moving up? You know what I mean? Like, it's they're not loaded with young talent. That has become abundantly clear.
You're right. Here's why. When we were talking in the last hour about Hosang, here's my thought process on him, where I would agree that I think he gets a contract. I think they put him in the Marlies, and he is recalled to play in the top six, top seven. Like, there's no role for him at the bottom of the lineup. He's not the type of player that you want rolling on the third or fourth line. He's a guy that if Marner or Nylander or one of these guys in the top six either stumbles or needs, you know, has an injury, that's where he gets slotted. Because I don't see him. Do you want him on a checking line?
No.
He's a perimeter player with skill. He's not going to play on a fourth line who's going to crash and bang. So he's a guy who needs to be slotted, but they've got plenty of those slots. So I think he gets a contract, but I don't see him. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're right. I think they're going to try the Galchenyuk road, which was successful for them, right? Like they have all the tools and all the resources for development, for a reset. And you're not losing out on anything, right? Like, if he's in the minors, it doesn't count against the cap. They get all the money in the world. If he's committed to doing it and he puts in the effort, they'll supply him with the resources, and we'll see if he makes the most of it. And if it pays off for the Leafs, they'll be happy with that. Yeah. But, you know, I said it earlier. You called it a sky dump in terms of negativity. Call it what you will. But in using the Galchenyuk theme here and that structure and that philosophy – goes down to the minors, resets, comes up, fit in pretty well. You know, it was hot and cold, wasn't a rock star, wasn't anyone that ignited the lineup, but had some pretty quality moments.
Relied on work,
but ultimately all of it became irrelevant overtime game five when he threw out one of the worst passes in team history, and tic-tac-toe Suzuki scores and the rest is history. And that would be my concern with a guy like Hosang. I understand, different player, different context, different games, and this is the different future.
Right.
But we just said what we said about Liljegren. Hosang's older, all right? So if he is shown time and time again, doesn't click, not going to happen.
And it would
you want to invest in what? Play him in the playoffs and put yourself in a position like you did with Galchenyuk again, where the bad stuff shows up?
Yeah.
This team keeps saying we've learned from past mistakes. We'll see.
And the kid is a microcosm of that, Brian, because he says, "Oh, I'll do anything for this team. I'll flood the ice. I'll do the water bottles. I'll play in the East Coast League." Like, if he had an ounce of desperation while he was actually like a real deal type prospect.
With the Islanders and other teams.
He's a solidified, bona fide NHL player right now. But he took things for granted. And like I said, I know about the kid. I know about his junior career. I know about some of the antics. I know a lot about it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's not a lot of positive, but I don't know what else to say about him. He's got an opportunity. And for him,
you hope he seizes it.
So do
I. It'd be a great redemption
story.
Local kid.
Everybody can turn back the clock and find it again and have a great story, and I hope he does it. But there's probably coaches that are watching this or some people that were around him in junior saying, really, where was that when you – Where was that when you really needed it? I don't know.
Maturity comes certainly at different stages for different players. So he's 25 years old. I think he's coming 26.
Yeah, Jamie, 26 I'm not dumping on the kid, but I'm just saying it's just there's probably people watching him that have followed him saying
it's the reality.
Yeah, his past is his past.
Believe me, I had friends with the Islanders when this guy showed up and was late for day one of training camp. Late for day one.
Yeah.
Like, and he's a first rounder. Like, you know, like
that's a tough one.
It's a tough one. But you know what? You hope that he realizes, hey, nine lives are done here. Like, this is your last kick at it. And you get an opportunity with an organization who's, as you pointed out, Brian, deep pockets, willing to work with you. You're in your own backyard. Go and seize it. Good for him if he can make it. Good for him if he gets a contract. Mm-hmm. But what I'm pointing out is if I'm looking at the team, my only fit for him is to play what suits the player. He's a skilled guy. He, like I say, it makes no sense for them to go, hey, you know what? You made the team. We're going to play you 8 minutes on the fourth line. I don't see him as a fourth line player. He's either got to play higher in your lineup and play a more skilled, higher risking game, or he doesn't play for your team that night, because I feel like they have to have certain, you know, checks and balances within that lineup.
I think that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable, and I think that's the challenge he's facing. And we'll see what Josh Ostend can do with the opportunity. It's still a good opportunity. There's a reason he keeps getting opportunities. It's because he's talented.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a player there. It's just on him, you know, to seize that opportunity, and we'll see. We'll see what he brings to the table. But this is the NHL. It's not, you know, nothing's going to be gift wrapped. The Leafs don't owe him anything, just like they didn't owe Galchenyuk anything. And guess what happened? At the end of the year, Galchenyuk's still out there. They're like, nah.
PTO in Arizona.
Yeah.
Right.
There it is. Like, the Leafs could have had him back, and they decided not to. What does that tell you? That tells me they looked at the playoffs and said, wow, you know, we were in that position. We did all this and all that, and then in the end, it burned us.
It says to me that they have other plans for – we just talked about it. Bunting looks more like a more of a predictable player, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with Nick Ritchie. So you want predictability if those guys are going to get opportunities to play with the star players. You want a guy who does the same thing night in and night out, work ethic, determination, physicality, all of that. That suits those players way more than a guy who is – you know, looks great one night and then gets in bad habits and kind of falls into line with, you know, more the skilled guys who get a longer leash.
So that predictability leads to success, Jamie, because they do the same thing and it leads to opportunities where they wouldn't have in a third line situation. And Bunting is an example. You put him with Matthews and Marner and he just goes to the net just like Hyman did. Go in the corner, get the puck, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden you're getting all these opportunities and you got 25 goals at the end of the year.
No, it's a great point that doesn't come up enough, because we get so focused, we, quote-unquote, you know, fans, media, on okay, talent, stat sheets, and ability, and possession, and, you know, looking this way or that way. And predictability doesn't come up enough. Availability doesn't come up enough. And the idea that this is someone who just works hard and you know exactly what you're getting, sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side. That can be a green grass, the guy who goes up and down the boards and hits everything in sight.
Look at the playoffs, you know exactly, Brian.
But think of the three guys who got free agent deals this summer. Goodrow, Coleman, Hyman. One consistent thing about all three of those guys, they kill penalties, they work hard, they're team guys, they're good guys. It's not like an X factor of like, oh, this guy's going to, you know, he's going to score 50 or whatever. It's like this guy comes to work every night, and that's what we need in our lineup to complement what we have already.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Leafs are the best example of it. They have the talent up top. You know exactly what you're getting. They're not worried about that. They're not worried about scoring. I don't think they're as worried about defending anymore. It's still you got to continue to knock on that door every single night. That's the NHL. That's pro sports. I mean, you let your foot off the gas, you're in trouble. But I think they felt good about their system last year, their philosophy. I think they feel good about their top four defense. I think if you get average goaltending league-wide, you'll be okay. You know, they're going to be a playoff team. And then what have you learned from the past, and what are the other pieces going to bring to the table?
Right. And that's the giant X factor for me. As much as I'm painting a great picture in that, is there are more question marks surrounding this team than we have seen in past years.
Yes.
Just based on go out and show me type of thing. Mm-hmm. Nick Ritchie, you know, seemed like a prototypical Boston Bruin player. Why didn't
they
the Bruins want him?
Yep.
Why didn't the Bruins walk on a guy who seems like that would fit? You know, Arizona, I mean, Bunting was up and down with that team. He wasn't a mainstay mm-hmm. with that team. So what did they see or what didn't they see in Bunting to not have him stick around? You know, these are question marks.
All
that
legitimate questions.
They yep. all need to be answered, right?
They do. And we're getting closer and closer to that date and finding out exactly what it's going to look like and mean.
Right.
The Raptors are back in town. Is what you talk about questions. You know, what's this team going to look like? How's it going to play out being back home, coming off a tough season, especially in the second half? Caught up with Bobby Webster, their GM, earlier this afternoon. We'll play that conversation for you. A lot of interesting things came out of it. And Al's brother will be in studio. Team Al Dog will be on the clock with their pick tonight. We'll get to that next.
The final try of the first star.
Yes, it's that time, and just before we get to him, I'd like to apologize, Hayes, because Sea Monsters on the pole is getting dummied.
Yeah, it's a terrible handle.
Dude, I'm telling you, I like Sea Monsters better than
they
Kraken.
Oh, I like Kraken in a landslide over Sea Monsters.
But isn't there a minor league team?
Kraken.
Yeah.
Like, there was an AHL team that Lowell, I thought it was Lowell Sea Monsters,
was
or maybe St. John Sea Monsters.
Lowell Lock Monsters.
That's what it was. Either way.
Monsters. I guess I just don't know. I've never said the word Kraken before. That's why it kind of doesn't exactly flow, right? I don't even know what a Kraken is. I've never said Kraken. And all of a sudden, an NHL team pops up that's the Kraken.
Yeah, now it's got to be, you know, part of the vernacular. Like, we all need to know about Kraken.
Let's get cracking
here with the Monday night NFL pick. And it's back and brought to you by BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. There's Al's brother in with you, Team Al Dog. I just see you two together in studio. It's great. I mean, I'm seeing a winner. I'm picking up on winning energy. Al's brother, are you picking up on the same thing in studio with the O-Dog?
There's a good energy right now.
I
feel bad for you, to be honest. I feel bad for you.
Really? All right.
Well, going into last night, you know, we ended up going in, getting the dub, although being a Packers fan. I'm sure you were happy.
We got the Ryder Cup, too.
Ryder Cup as well.
So we're riding high now. Yep. We got a couple in a row here, so I think we can make it a hat trick and get tonight's pick right as well.
Okay, so you've got Dallas at home. They are a 3.5-point favorite. Is that what you're seeing, Al's brother? I know you always question the books, and somehow you have something offshore.
I just want to be legit. I don't think you need to make that comment.
Well, but literally every week he's like, oh, we're going with 3.5, as if he's got some bookie in the back alley that's, you know, shaving points or something. But
it's just a specific app that I use, and it has the lines. I think it's the same one that we both use, to be
three
honest.
And a half.
And
okay.
I'm seeing 3.5 as well today.
All right, so it's Dallas 3.5 at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. You guys are on the clock. This is a big one. The Monday Nighter, you are 0-2 on the season on Monday night. Very due for a win. There's a stat you would probably use. There's a little whispering going on. It's like we're on the draft floor.
Yeah, exactly. They're just like, I think they're not on the same page.
I don't think they're on
I think
even the same
I think O just said to him, yeah. Exactly.
Are we on the same page?
We're absolutely on the same page. There's only All one right. right answer today.
Like, go ahead.
And we both are on it. Like, we are emphatically, Team Al Dog loves the Cowboys.
Yeah!
We are going straight Matthew McConaughey, straight up Pierre LeBrun. We're taking the Cowboys. Look, the Cowboys have had a pretty fantastic start to their season. They lost to the Bucs week one, but they were right into it. It was a last-second field goal. And they beat the Chargers yesterday.
Yuck.
They're a pretty good team.
Yep.
I'm not sold on the Eagles. Like, they really aren't that different of a team from last season, and they stunk. Like, yeah, okay, Jalen Hurts, I guess, is now the guy, but he's not that great. If it wasn't for a 91-yard pass last week, he would have been under 100 yards passing a week ago. That's going to be able to stand up to Dak Prescott out there.
We're all about Dak.
In Dallas, at their home opener, Dak's first game since his injury. Come on. I don't understand why people think that the Eagles are going to be in this game. Look, I think the Cowboys are 5-2 against the spread over the last seven meetings against the Eagles.
Hang on. Go ahead. Keep going.
The favorite in this is 8-3 gets a spread in their last 11 meetings. The home team has covered in 5 straight meetings between these two. And let me tell you, what the Eagles are doing as the road dogs in their last five, just one win, one cover as the road dogs in the last five. Thank you very much.
Just clip
We're
it.
On the
Please
Dallas Cowboys.
Reveal okay. your paper.
Dallas.
Yeah!
Dallas is the pick. You guys, every game you guys pick, it's a layup. Carolina-Houston was a layup.
That was fun. That was fun to watch.
That was a good one.
There's been multiple. I love Dallas tonight. I think Dallas, listen, they've looked good. Like, they legitimately should have maybe won in Tampa. They were right there. I don't love Jalen Hurts.
I don't either. And if we win this game, correct me if I'm wrong, Hayes. We are out of the red with the Ryder Cup yesterday.
Yeah, I think you guys are in a pretty good place if you get a W tonight. But I'll take the 3.5. This is going against your own mantra, though, Al's brother. Divisional game, plus points, two teams that aren't spectacular teams. So I don't love being on the Eagles, but I don't have a choice, so I'll take it tonight.
Yeah, a couple injuries on both sides, I'll say that, which makes it a little interesting to see how these backups perform. But they put Micah Parsons, their first-round pick, on the edge last week. He was first in the NFL in pressures. He had 3 days of practice on the edge. He's traditionally a linebacker. I think he'll give Jalen Hurts some fits tonight. He's not going to be able to run around like he did last week.
That is tremendous information.
Tremendous information.
I'll give you that, Al's brother. Now, personally, I'm a man of ethics and morals. I wouldn't support a team who has someone on that team that would try to bribe a drug collector, yep. You know, like Lyle Collins did for the Cowboys. Personally, I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the eye and look myself in the mirror and say I support the same team that Lyle Collins plays for. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, you guys clearly have no ethics, no morals, no integrity whatsoever. And it's fine. You're just trying to pick a winner. So you're on the Cowboys tonight, minus 3.5.
We are.
Best of luck.
Thank
Best you. Of luck to you and yours, Al's brother.
Thank you. I feel good about it.
All right.
Well, he sold it. Sounded fantastic.
They always do.
We'll see how it unfolds.
Yep. The old bribe to the sample collector. I love that story. I need more details.
Cheating, you ain't trying.
That's very valid. That's a good point, Al's brother. All right, Cowboys 3.5 at home. Al's brother and the O-Dog are officially on Dallas tonight. The Monday night NFL pick was brought to you by BookSeats.com. Custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world. BookSeats.com. Simplify the way fans travel. Caught up with Bobby Webster earlier today, GM of the Raptors, media day today. They're back home. That's news in 2021. You're actually home. You're here. Like, physically, you're in Toronto. And caught up with the GM of the Raps and began by asking him, what kind of emotions pour over? How cool is it to be back home in Toronto?
Man, we're all excited. We're feeling the energy. We're feeling the love from the fans. So we can't wait to get started here. We got a training camp getting away tomorrow, first practice.
Well, when you look back on it now, obviously it was an experience. You guys were down in Florida for the year, and you had to deal with COVID firsthand, and obviously the season got away from you in terms of wins and losses in the second half. What do you think your team missed most about not playing in Toronto?
Wow. I think definitely just having some sense of stability. I think we're all understanding that now going through the last 18 months. Your family, your daily schedule, coming to Scotia, going on the road. I think it's just everything was in upheaval, and I'm sure it all contributed in a small way to, in some ways a forgettable year.
We're chatting with Bobby Webster, the GM of the Raptors. The Raptors back home, media day today. It's a sign of the times when people are tracking vaccination rates, but that's where we're at right now, and especially with pro sports and considering how unique your setup is and our setup is in Toronto, the only Canadian team, and the idea of crossing the border and dealing with multiple governments. So you guys were telling the media today you're 1 second dose short of 100% vaccination rate, so you will be there by opening night. How have your players responded overall to the vaccination approach and the upcoming rules?
Yeah, we're really close. We're proud of being as close as we are, and hopefully on opening night we'll be there at 100%. As far as our players and even our staff, I think it's representative of what you see out there. Initially there's a little bit of hesitancy, but I think with education you know, really just talking to them and just understanding what the concerns were. You know, I think it's not a surprise we weren't at 100% from the start, right? And so I think you have to get there. So it's been educational for me. It's been educational for our medical staff to, you know, go through the process and really, you know, understand concerns, but ultimately, you know, get people vaccinated.
There was a picture of floating around of Kyle in a Heat jersey today. I'm not going to lie. It looked a little bit weird. He is a big influence in the locker room, leadership role. Who do you expect to kind of chip in his absence?
Yeah, it'll be a little bit by committee. I mentioned this earlier. You know, we started to talk to Fred and OG and Pascal towards the end of last season in Tampa. Hey, you know, this was, you know, we knew what this was, one of the potential outcomes with Kyle leaving. And so just to, you know, really start to get them to think about their individual roles, the additional steps they can take, but also collectively between the three of them. Now they've been here the longest. They obviously have won a lot together, have won a championship. And so just like, how do they start to figure that out? I think more vocally is probably Fred. You'll see that. But on the court, all three of those will carry a huge load. And of course, with that responsibility comes even more responsibility off the court, is you lead the young guys and kind of have, they set their own path as they make their careers in the league.
Bobby, you mentioned Fred, and he came out with a comment today saying there's no such thing as a perfect basketball player, but that's what I'm going after. That's what I want to try to be. Does that kind of comment excite you in the fact that he wants to get better and just has this drive for success, and also kind of scare you a little bit where this guy might be just overthinking this? He might want to change too much about his game?
No, I think Fred, you know, he's got his head on, you know, pretty straight. I think the good thing with him, he's always looking for ways to improve. And so, you know, we've had him now, you know, I guess 5 years now. And so, you know, little things he works on. So, you know, getting himself in elite shape, understanding the shots he's going to get within our offense. I think he talked about a little bit today, finishing at the rim in between shots. We obviously know he's a very accomplished three-point shooter, his defense. So, no, I take it as obviously he's not a finished product. He, you know, by no means does he think he's kind of made it. And so that's really, really good to hear, and something that we obviously value from him is just his, you know, kind of unending drive to be better.
How do you think Scotty Barnes is going to fit in? Nick Nurse made it clear that, you know, his role is going to be huge. He's a young guy, seems to have a ton of confidence. What are you looking for from him?
Yeah, no, it'll be fun to watch. I think, you know, it's always different watching these guys in summer league and with the young guys, and then to see him out there with some of the more established guys. But I think, you know, there's a couple things that, you know, come to mind. Obviously, his defense, his versatility. He can guard a lot of different positions. He can be very disruptive with his anticipation and his length. And then on the offensive end, he handles the ball, sees the floor really well, he passes really well. So I think, you know, right away, some of the things that don't require you having the ball in your hand, shooting, scoring, I think he'll take care of those. And then it'll be fun to see how he fits in with the established guys as far as on the offensive end.
Scotty lives in my building. Is there anything you want me to take him under my wing or
get him out of there, Bobby? First yeah, thing
Bobby,
you do,
seriously,
move
like,
him out,
he can move,
move
in. He can
out.
Move in. I'll take care of him. I will show him the ropes of being a pro athlete. Is that something you're interested in?
Yeah, I know this is radio, but you know, have him eat right. Let's get him in elite shape.
I'm all about that. That's, you don't really know me, Bobby, but I'm all about that.
Have you
that.
Ever heard of the bulk barn? Because
that's what he'll be teaching him, the bulk yeah. barn, yeah. how to eat on weekends, and to yeah. never separate garbage and recycling and shoot. Because that's how the O-Dog
well,
lives.
Sure we all have a little trouble with that. So.
Yeah, true enough. And Scotty's got to figure that out, I guess, on his own. But I didn't know he was in your building. I'm telling you, Bobby. First thing you do, get off the phone, get yeah, him out.
Exactly.
That is a code red. You don't want anything.
If you see
that.
An Instagram pic of me and him out at a restaurant, you trade yeah. him immediately.
Yeah, well, he seems to be, I mean, he's loving Toronto.
Yeah,
he's throwing
he
out the first
it.
Pitch, and we had him on last week. He's got a really infectious attitude and approach. And I know you spoke about it after the draft, and we had you on afterwards, but you must be loving what you're hearing from him and seeing so far.
Yeah, no, it's what you all said. He's got a magnetic personality. He's, you know, I do want to see, you know, in March and April, a tough road trip, you know, but his energy level is so high. And so we'll just ride it out and it's infectious. And I think it just brings a smile to everyone's face when you see him, because he's, you know, it's just a youthful enthusiasm that we all enjoy.
with Bobby Webster, GM of the Raptors. And you've mentioned Barnes and his versatility and the way he plays and who he can lean on. And there's two guys in particular, Ananobi being one and Siakam being the other. And Pascal, obviously you read the article, I'm sure, in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, and it raised eyebrows, and we talked about it extensively on the show about how he felt, and I believe I'm getting this correct, that there was some sort of a miscommunication between himself and the front office in terms of what the max contract meant for him and whether he was the man or not. And I think he specifically referenced Kyle being there, and if Lowry's there, how can Siakam be the man? And he seemed to be a little bit off put by that. How did you respond to his comments in the article, and how do you expect to handle whatever Siakam was seeking out now that you know that he has spoken out the way that he has?
Yeah, it's fair, and just so we're all clear. Obviously, we had these conversations with Pascal long before the article came out. We had conversations with him last season, and I think there was an adjustment to the role. And I think, you know, Fred talked about it, you know, very kind of probably more eloquently than me this morning about, listen, when you have Kyle Lowry on your team, there's just certain things that the team's going to do, and he's going to behave in a certain way, and it's nothing negative or against anybody else. It's just he has a huge presence, and I think that's part of what Pascal was getting at, which is, you know, with Kyle on the team as the unquestioned leader, both emotionally off the court and on the court, you know, he may have just felt a little bit inhibited. And so that's natural and that's fair. And so I think, you know, him being able to share that with us privately and then obviously coming out publicly, it's the type of communication that we want to have with him and the type of, you know, to be honest, the relationship that we started to develop with Kyle towards the end of his career. And it's just really positive for everyone that, hey, listen, everything's not going to be, you know, 100% positive and everyone's going to do exactly what both sides want. So, for him to be able to express that to us and for us to be able to respond to him as well, I think is really important.
Well, in terms of the max contract, like it's a term, it's so unique to the NBA. And it has a lot to do with when you got in the league, what you've done in the league, you know, status in the league. It really is a status maker. If you're a max player, that separates you almost from everyone else in the league. But when you gave that to him, when you signed Pascal to the max deal, you're coming off the 19th season. Obviously, we know how he played and how he contributed to that ring. But how much growth was expected beyond him signing the contract, and specifically the way he was going to play and the way he was going to handle a leadership role?
Yeah, you know, take it a couple of different ways. I think one of the big things that comes along with those max NBA contracts are expectations, right? And so, you know, when you have that contract and, you know, you're not performing every night, then it's just a different level of different type of microscope that's on you. It's probably a bit bigger and it's probably a bit more intense. And so, you know, we talked about those type of expectations. And then, listen, there is a difference between being kind of the man statistically on the court, but who's kind of the voice in the locker room. And so there's a, you know, it's complicated. It's multifaceted. It's not, hey, here's the max contract. You know, you get everything associated with it right away, regardless of the kind of makeup of the team. And so I think hopefully now we'll see this year with maybe a fewer of those impediments, you know, Pascal will really, you know, feel more comfortable and feel more free.
With Bobby Webster, so your head coach is dealing with some uncharted territory himself because he steps in 2019, wins a championship. The next year you guys are second overall in terms of points percentage before COVID hit. And last year, obviously, it was a very different feel, specifically down the stretch where you were playing the kids, you were developing, and you knew where you were going in terms of the draft lottery. So how do you expect your head coach, Nick Nurse, to handle what could be a very different feeling season and group compared to what he has had his first couple of years here?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, the reason why we hired Nick back in, I believe, 2018 was you know, he's won everywhere he's gone at every level. It's what he cares about. It's what he thinks about. And so it's incredibly important to us that standard set every year. And so we'll have our, you know, our team dinner tonight and our team practice tomorrow. And I'm sure that'll be a huge theme of all of it. And I think, you know, obviously winning is complicated. But I think, you know, first and foremost is we have to go out there and compete. And I think it's been a hallmark of a lot of Raptors teams in the past, which is, you know, never count us out, whether it's in the fourth quarter, the second quarter, or even in a playoff series. And so, you know, from that perspective, it'll continue to be the message that we preach to the staff and to the players. But it is a little bit of a different year. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know exactly what the outcome of this year will be. And it kind of, you know, reminds me a bit of the first years we came here in 13 and 14, where we weren't exactly sure how many wins we'd have, but we knew that we had a team that was versatile and they could compete and had some upside. And so I think, you know, hopefully the fans and you all will enjoy the journey a little bit this year along with us as we watch guys get better, take jumps into new roles. And obviously we want to win every night we're out there.
Well, and getting back to the vaccination rate, I'm sure that is going to ease the minds of Nick Nurse and his staff as well, right? Like it sure sounds like if you have 100% vaxxed on your team, you could be ahead of the curve because my impression is, and you're on the inside of the bubble, you can probably shed more light than we can, Bobby. It's going to be a complicated and complex season if players and personnel are not vaccinated.
Yeah, you hit it on there. I mean, listen, we have the border for us to deal with that will come with its own myriad of issues. And then just being on the road, there's certain arenas that sounds like are going to allow vaccinated, unvaccinated. As was very well documented last season, you know, I think we may have had the biggest outbreak in the NBA. And so, yeah, it can definitely derail your season. So we're trying to take all the precautions that we can. It doesn't mean there won't be a, you know, breakthrough case here or there. But I think, you know, we're doing everything we can and we'll continue to follow all the health and safety protocols from public health.
Well, it's great to have you guys back in town. We're looking forward to seeing you play again. We're looking forward to having fans back in the stands. And we wish you nothing but success and good luck moving forward. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Bobby.
We appreciate it. We'll see you out there at the arena.
There he is, Bobby Webster, GM of the Raptors. They're back in town. Leafs are back in town. The Jays are back in town. Yankees, I'm sure, flew up last night. They're here. Go time tomorrow, man. Go time. 6 games left for the Jays, and it's pretty much all or nothing against the Yankees. I mean, that's going to determine where the Baltimore games stand and what is on the line come Friday when Baltimore rolls through town. But you can't ask for much more than this. Yeah, the Ryder Cup, which really wasn't that entertaining. Like Sunday, it was over, right?
Yeah,
like it was done.
I still like seeing them squash. Like I like to see squashing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. Did you see Al's brother sent us that pick? That one guy who hit a Ryder Cup parlay for like $930,000.
Wow!
Predicted like all the ties, everything. Hit that's insane.
Insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, like. Crazy, insane, like an $18 parlay, Ryder Cup parlay, where he hit everything. I guess ESPN's doing the Manning cast tonight, so you'll be able to see that on TSN for the Monday night.
That's awesome.
No,
I love it.
You see who's on with them tonight?
No.
LeBron James is reportedly going to be joining them. The King is going to be. That's how big the Mannings are, where they reach out to LeBron. Peyton probably sends him a text.
How would you feel if we're doing our show and we had a side show called Al's Brothers Overdrive and they had LeBron on and we'd be sitting here being like, why does Al's brother have LeBron? Like, I don't.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I get it. If you're Steve Levy and Louis Riddick and Brian Griese and the whole crew that works hard on Monday Night Football, I'll bet you when LeBron's on, they're going to have 2.5 million people watching them.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, maybe 3 million people.
Let's get Steve on and ask him.
That's a tough ask.
No,
it's
a tough question.
What do you ask him, man?
I don't know.
How much do you hate Peyton and Eli Manning?
Sea monsters and that idea.
They still get 15 million viewers, like, or whatever it is.
They're still number one. They're still number one.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They'll be okay. They'll be okay. Yeah, it sounds like Matthew Stafford, LeBron James, Nick Saban, and Chris Long. That's pretty good. Pretty good run.
Pretty good get, yeah.
Pretty good get. All right, we'll come back and tee up the Monday Nighter one more time. Look ahead to Jays in action. The Leafs are in action tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, we got the Monday Nighter tonight. We got the Leafs playing the Habs tonight. Take it easy because baseball is going to take a back seat, right? The Jays, Yankees, Sox not playing, so you don't have to concern yourself about that race. It's all about Leafs, Habs, and then into the Monday Nighter. Yep. It's going to be fun, man. We're into, you know, it's September. You know, it's fall when we're talking football and hockey. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the Leafs have in store tonight, getting back into the swing of things. And Mitch Marner will play tonight, and a couple other kids that I'm looking forward to seeing. And
yeah, I just want health through the preseason. Yesterday, I don't know if you may have heard, but like Nikolaj Ehlers goes through the middle and gets twisted up, has to leave. He ended up coming back, but like all you can think about is like, do you want your top players to play, but you want them to have no hitters, you know, just go out and play, get your timing back and all of that, because that's the last thing you need in a nothing preseason.
Absolutely.
Game.
Like we got 2 weeks before we get to the real dance.
Exactly.
Right, like two weeks tomorrow night is the season opener. In 2 weeks, Wednesday night is when the Leafs will make their debut. So you still got a lot of runway here, a lot of practices, a lot of scrimmages. Sounds positive when it comes to Matthews. Like, it sounds like he'll be ready to go come opening night. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see what the Leafs have in store tonight. We're going to break it all down tomorrow, of course, and break down the Monday nighter, start looking ahead to week four, Tom Brady and the Bucks in New England Sunday night, and the Jays-Yankees tomorrow. That's going to be a big one.
Yeah,
we are out of here. It's been a fun show today. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.